So we start out by asking you if you have any familiarity with role-playing games, Dungeons and Dragons, anything like that.
Not very much. I think if I had ever met people that were interested in those things, I probably would have gone really deep down that rabbit hole, but I made it out of my formative years without being introduced to it. So, you know, I'll play a good nerdy round of Dominion or Catan or...
Oh, cool.
I'm like slightly familiar, but not very well versed. And it's only nominally a group game. You're really playing against yourself with other people there.
Right.
So I think it works sometimes for people that don't necessarily want to interact while playing a game.
But you have to watch what other people are doing. So
it also has the absolute worst game art I've ever seen.
Oh, Dominion?
Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
Huh.
I think they go out of their way to find the worst illustrations possible. And so I was introduced to it this summer, and when I would play with people, I would have to just stop ranting about how bad it was.
Have you looked at any Magic cards? What do you think
of
Magic card art?
But it's not as bad as Dominion art.
Huh.
Yeah. And I mean, Magic art, there's some stuff in there that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I've yet to see evidence of any good Dominion art.
All right.
I'm glad we started off with such a tangent.
No, right. I mean, this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the form there, we'll start off looking at the form. First box is your character name.
Basically, we're building the character of your creative life.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've always said that I was going to have a rap alter ego. It would be T-Rex, but spelled W-R-E-C-K-S, because I have a love of paleontology. So if I have to have a character name, let's go with that today.
Excellent.
Wow,
T-Rex. I like it. T-Rex.
T-Rex.
Cool. And the first die roll we're going to give you is this four-sided die. That's a two.
Okay.
You can write that number two down in the motto roll.
Okay.
And we are giving you two plus one. And what we want to do is have you come up with your three-word motto. So you have
up to three words.
Up to three words.
Some people have one word.
Yes.
That's okay. So welcome once again to the Artist Rolls, a fun new perspective on creators and creating. I'm Jamie Gower.
And I'm Sean Mitchell. And with us today is writer, artist, and adventurer, Tessa Hulls. Also, I called her a serial interviewee. She likes doing interviews, and she likes interviewing people. Welcome, Tessa.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, you rolled a two earlier, and we asked you to come up with three?
Up to three-word motto.
And
two plus one is three.
Yeah, thank you. Up to three-word motto, what'd you come up with?
I came up with what's over there.
What's over there?
Oh my god.
What is over there?
That's what I have to go find out.
Excellent. And this is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. What is the latest thing that you've gone to find out?
Well, I recently got back from spending a summer living in Denali National Park up in Alaska.
Wow.
And I deliberately took a sabbatical from being an artist and didn't make a damn thing. and it's the longest break I've taken from making pretty much ever.
Uh-huh.
How long was it total?
4 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So I spent a lot of time just reading poetry on the tundra and going canoeing and staring at mountains and being very quiet. And yeah, I was curious to see what a season of silence would yield. So
mm-hmm.
that was my last adventure. And now I'm kind of back in the city and sifting through that and seeing what shifted.
How did you arrive at that being the place that's what's over there?
The last handful of years, I've been really drawn to cold, isolated places. And about 3 years ago, I worked down in Antarctica. And so...
Oh.
I work as an itinerant chef, I should mention. That's
okay.
How I'm able to travel the way that I do, is I take cooking contracts in remote places. And so when I'm not being an artist, I'm usually out doing that. And so a friend of mine that I'd worked with in Antarctica told me that he worked out in this place in Alaska. And so I started going up there and cooking on boats a couple summers ago and tacking bike trips onto it. And so 2 years ago, I was doing a 900-mile loop through Alaska, going through the old Denali Highway, and I knew that my friend worked somewhere out there, and so just asked if I could come visit, and then fell in love with this place.
What was your state of mind about creating by the end of it, when you returned to creating? Was it a burst of things, or was it a very more relaxed entry that now I have this stuff stored up?
It felt very relaxed, which was what I was hoping the outcome would be. But I came back in on kind of a strange first project. So I know that after I have these seasons away from Seattle, I make sure to schedule something right away so that I'm forced to actually come home because I'm a flight risk and might just not make it back one of these days. And so I knew that I was doing a lecture for the Microsoft Artist Lecture Series. And so I knew that I was going to be coming back from this season and needing to talk about myself for an hour after not making anything. And so that was a little bit of a jarring transition to go from literally not being an artist, not thinking of myself as an artist, to giving an in-depth overview of everything I make and why.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Fantastic.
Good. Let's move on to section two of the character sheet. It's the roles role.
This is just an aside. In our family, we have our version of what's over there.
Yes.
Is cows. because when I was early in my relationship with my wife, we were having some serious discussion in the car, and it was really one of those relationship building discussions.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to my wife and letting her know things, and all of a sudden we're driving, she goes, "Cows!" right in the middle of the conversation. And at the time I was kind of like hurt, but then I realized, oh wait. And we've always said, that's just your personality. And I've since had two children that do the exact same thing.
Cows.
So we just always go, that's just what happens. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. new stuff comes in. And so the what's over there seems like a more measured and positive than just distractible. It's really kind of applying a more of a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you the D8 and the D10.
Okay.
And go ahead and give them a roll.
Simultaneously?
Or yes. One at a time, any way you want to do it. That's a 17. Ooh. And what we're going to ask you to do is divide those 17 points among the five roles you see there. Studio artist, performer, writer, director, producer.
I mean, I think studio artist and writer are on my usual pie chart. All right, I've got my 17 allocated.
Wow, that was fast, especially for an artist.
I'm very decisive.
Okay, yes. good. Go ahead, let us know what they are.
Okay, I'm gonna start with the smallest allocation first, which is director, which I gave myself a 1 for.
Okay.
Because I really hate telling anyone else what to do. I'm very much a proponent of people following their own direction, so I go out of my way to avoid ever being in the position of the one who has to herd the cats. But occasionally, I guess I've done stuff that would be considered curation, and so it does have to happen from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I give myself a 2 for producer, segueing into that. Mm-hmm. For those occasions when I do create a show or create an environment for other people to follow their own direction. And then a studio artist, I gave myself a 4. Because while that's predominantly what I've done in the past, I feel like it's actually what I have the least interest in right now in terms of my main disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
And then I split performer and writer with 5 each, mm-hmm. evenly.
Interesting.
Were you trained as a studio artist? Or?
I did nominally go to college for it. I spent my freshman year of college at UCLA because at that point I wasn't really ready to go to school, and I kind of asked people where I should apply and then said, this is where I got in, where should I go? And they supposedly have a very good art school. And so I got there, and never having gone to Southern California, started writing transfer applications the day that I got there. It was just a terrible, terrible fit in every respect. It was very much a program that's sort of mass producing artists for the hip contemporary LA art scene, which makes me want to die inside. And so I then transferred colleges, and my parameters for where I ended up next were basically what is the least like this in every way possible. And so I ended up at Reed College in Portland, Oregon, which is how I ended up living in the Northwest.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of have an art department. We didn't see eye to eye either, but there I think I got a lot out of it just in terms of becoming very stubborn and and sort of believing that, or coming to have faith in the idea that you can have any opinion you want so long as you can defend it.
Mm-hmm.
So we butted heads a lot. They mostly just left me alone, which was mutually beneficial. but I've always been a really voracious reader, and a lot of the work that I do is informed directly by books in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 solo gallery shows that I've had have both been paintings that have been based off of either poetry or literary passages. And so for me, I think reading and writing have always been the underpinning of everything that I do. Mm-hmm. And in the last couple of years, the working directly as a writer has become less of an armature and become more of the actual product, mm-hmm. which was not planned, but that seems to be the direction that I'm going in.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So you have 5 on performer. Does that mean you're spending a lot of time in front of audiences?
Yeah. What I've been doing lately, other people have told me, is more or less illustrated stand-up comedy. So I do a lot of stuff with drawing charts and sort of slow reveals with timed slideshows. And one of the last projects I did was for an event called the Six Pack Series at Washington Ensemble Theater. And they had a prompt that was too bored for the Lord. So it was supposed to be irreverent takes on religion one way or another. So I talked about growing up in Northern California and having a compulsively faith-hopping mother who went from, you know, Episcopalian to chakra alignment to Vivekananda and so on and so forth. And then segued that into a feminist retelling of the story of Noah's Ark, explaining why the dinosaurs didn't make it to the promised land. So, like, those sorts of things, you know, I'm on stage with a slideshow and illustrations, and they get pretty weird and tangential.
Do dinosaurs feature in all of your work?
Not deliberately, but it seems to happen often. I'm kind of a 9-year-old boy in a lot of ways.
You've got a little bit on director and producer, but primarily it sounds like the stuff you're producing is more or less solo, or are you at times getting into group things?
I like to collaborate, and I do have one friend, Eric Olson, who's also an artist in Seattle, and he and I collaborate on a bunch of weird stuff whenever possible. So last year we ended up doing kind of performance-based response pieces to every show in the On the Boards performance season. Mm-hmm. I like to work in theater whenever I can. Mm-hmm. But generally, just the way that my schedule works and my proclivity for drifting in and out of things means that I'm not really running on the same schedule as anyone else, so it makes collaboration difficult.
That makes perfect sense.
We're going to move on to section 3, the medium's role. Similarly, we're going to take those 2 dice, the 10 and the 8, and give them a roll. And that is a 16.
Okay.
Big rolls.
Very good rolls.
Big rolls. So, as in the rolls roll, we are going to divide those 16 points among the mediums you see there. This is where your work can be found. Mm-hmm. Live, video, audio, physical, and print web.
Whew. I feel like this is making me I need to be better at documentation. I hate documenting things. It's going to be telling in how I allocate this. All right, you guys make small talk while I think about this.
Okay. You can just slap some numbers down and then...
It would be easier if we actually liked each other. Cows!
I think we got to... The tension will work well for our later VH1 special.
Yes.
Behind the microphone.
The microphone. Yes.
Okay.
With Sean and Jamie.
Yeah.
Bourbon drinker.
Mm-hmm.
And performer with bracketed correlation.
Well, that was a few years ago, so I think I've become more of a performer since then. It's probably a larger slice of the pie chart.
Uh-huh. Rapper, have you done any rap?
I do have a long-term project that at some point I would like to do, but I don't know when. It also has to do with dinosaurs. This is really making me realize.
There you go.
I'm having a hard time with these ones. I feel like it doesn't actually break down in these categories very well.
Okay.
I'm really, for me, the act of making, I'm interested in it up until the point that I've done it, and then I just completely lose interest. And mm-hmm. so documentation is kind of a grudging obligation that I know I should do. But once I make something, I don't really think about it again.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I was talking to a friend about this a couple weeks ago, where I kind of liken it to throwing a rock into a pond. And for me, I like the kinesthetic activity of, you know, getting everything in alignment and letting it go. But I walk away before it lands or see where the ripples go. So
you don't even want to hear the kerplunk?
No, not really.
Oh, that's my favorite part.
I don't know why I'm so strangely indifferent to it, but I am.
So you say it's like the kinesthetic of making
mm-hmm.
it. Okay.
Yes, it's a tactile quality. Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with I'm somebody that has a great deal of discomfort with the idea of consumption, kind of as it relates in broad strokes within our society. Mm-hmm. And I mean, clearly the way that I live indicates that I'm not particularly good at remaining within mainstream society. And I have a hard time with consumerism in general. And I think that there may be a reactionary or rebellious element to deciding to not care about audience. Just in that, when you start to make something with the reception in mind, it distorts the product so much. And for me, I much prefer to have a contrived vacuum, and allows me to sort of be more honest in what it is that I want to do if I just completely don't think about the fact that it's eventually going to be presented.
That's very cool.
I mean, the way that I look at it is I have a very obsessively ordered mind, and I sort of think of it as being a Rube Goldberg contraption. And as I kind of get older and figure out more what it is that I do to keep myself balanced, both as a maker and a person, I sort of figure out, like, oh, okay, I need to send the monkey down to get that bowling ball to light the so on and so forth. And so for me, it's the act of making something is how I organize my very unruly Rube Goldberg contraption of a mind. It's almost like a Dewey Decimal System where I'm cataloging it and putting it in order. And so for me, I've gotten what I wanted out of it by doing it. And so it's almost, when I'm done, it's irrelevant even before I present it. Because it's like deep cleaning.
That's part of the process of being independent. You almost don't want, you know, once it's gone, you're ready for the next thing. What's over there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly, my motto.
Yeah. See, we bring it back.
Wow, very good.
Have you done the have you filled out the numbers yet?
I have.
Okay, great. Let's get those.
Well, so I put 0 for physical, mostly, which I think ties in with what we were talking about, is my complete indifference to anything once it's finished. And then video and audio I split evenly with 3 apiece.
Okay.
Because those do end up being the most common forms of documentation of what I do. And then live, I put 4. Because again, I think that's my main medium these days. And then I see social media as a necessary evil, which I'm willing to engage with when I'm in the city and kind of in this this chapter of what I do. So Facebook, that's pretty much it. And really, the majority of my activity on Facebook is I write little narrative vignettes from the perspective of honey buckets. So I wander around and I take pictures of porta potties. And you might notice I have a gallery of porta potties on my wall, and those are all things that people have given me because they know about my honey bucket project. And so I would say 87% of my Facebook activity is solely posting pictures of honey buckets.
Cool.
It's what keeps me on there.
All right.
So that's very cool. All right.
Reached the halfway point of the artist roles. We'll be back in a minute with Tessa Halls.
TheArtistRoles.com.
Visit and listen.
Facebook.
Like us.
Twitter.
Follow us. And a new one. If you're looking for a bite-sized dose of sci-fi comedy weirdness, head on over to my other podcast, One New Message, at onenewmess.com.
Welcome back to The Artist Roles. We're here with Tessa Halls, and we're moving on to section 4 of the character sheet, which is style.
Style.
Here's a graph. It has 2 axes, from collaborative to solo and prepared to spontaneous. And we want you to place yourself on that graph.
It can be historical. It can be aspirational. It can be...
I think my first impulse, I'm sure you've had someone do before on this, because I always say that I'm somebody that finds balance through going to both extremes. And so if I were to even out everything that I do, I think I would be pretty much as neutral as possible. So I'm just going to put myself directly in the center.
Okay.
One point.
You know what I find interesting, though, is you talked about balancing through extremes. Does that imply that there are times when you are at those extremes?
Oh, yeah.
What are your extremes, and when do you use them?
Well, I mean, so thinking about it in terms of, I do a lot of long distance bike travel, and it's kind of what keeps me sane, and it's when I think things through and I feel like it's accidentally given me a crash course in Zen Buddhism without really meaning to. But that's something that I do that's incredibly solitary, that is both very spontaneous but absolutely prepared, in that I'm by myself in the middle of nowhere. I have absolutely no idea where I'm going, and just kind of arbitrarily pick a cardinal direction and head that way. But I'm very prepared in that I have food, I have water, I have all the tools I need to fix things that break.
There's a spontaneous aspect to the biking, but you do need to be prepared.
Which is, you don't know exactly where you're going.
Yeah, which is what I love.
But you have to be ready to deal with whatever situation comes up.
Yeah. Which is actually, I think, where I'm the most comfortable. These days, I would say that I'm in an extreme hibernatory phase, where really all I want to do is either drink tea or scotch and sit on my couch and not really go out. So I'm really enjoying that. That's a very solo and prepared extreme. But no, in general, I think when I'm in the city, I'm compulsively over curious, and I think that's why I need to go to such an extreme of isolation when I'm not here, is because I get too overwhelmed, and I need to get myself in an environment where there's less stimulus.
So you're more spontaneous, collaborative when you're in a city?
Collaborative if you look at the city as being my collaborator.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I see your point there.
Section 5, Tessa, is superpower. We have 5 superpowers there. We have 3 columns. We want you to select one of those superpowers in each column. The columns are as follows. The one you think you have, the one that other people might think you have, and the one you want.
Okay.
How we do?
I cheated. I chose 2 for the seam column, because I saw them as being related. Which should I start with? Have, seam, or want?
What are you more interested in?
Actually, I can draw you a chart, too, because the way that you have this group...
If you draw it, we will take a picture of this.
Draw it on the form.
So draw it on the form, and the world will see it.
So I've been thinking about triangles a lot lately. And so that's why I think I like these, the 3 categories. And I've been thinking a lot about how, for myself, I break down into 3 seasonal categories of city artist life, travel life, and intentional wilderness sabbatical life. And so I've been thinking about triangles in terms of, if you're at any point, you can always see where you've come from and where you're going. And so wherever you are is informed by both of those other points. And so it's fluid, and there's nowhere for anything to hide. And it all shifts very nicely. And so I think where I was going with that was that have, seem, and want are almost points on a triangle. And so they're not really that demarcated. I see them as being very very intertwined.
So they all have a relationship to each other.
Yes, very much so. So I'll start with have. I chose shapeshifter, extraordinary adaptations. Which I think, just in the meandering conversation we've had, it's kind of constant adaptation is where I'm the most comfortable. Sort of can't do stasis, but dynamism I have no trouble with. And then seam, I chose elemental control and time control, mastering the physical world and mastering past, present, and future. And I think people see me as having those things because I am compulsively organized and incredibly reliable. And because I've adamantly refused to ever get a normal person job, I have 40 hours a week at my disposal that I think give people the illusion that I somehow have like extra resources of time, when really I've just chosen different priorities. And something that people often ask me is, you know, how can you always go do these things? Like, how can you, you know, how do you afford it? How do you take time off? And really it's because I structure everything in my life to be able to say yes. And so I'm able to take opportunities because there's nothing stopping me. And so I do think it creates this this impression that I somehow have control over both time and the elements. And then I want hypervision, seeing ahead, through, and inside, which ties back in with this triangle idea, is that I'm really interested in measuring things in terms of 3 points and sort of moving through everything with that lens. And so ahead, through, and inside just seem to dovetail with what I'm already working on.
So when you talk about the hypervision, what is it that you're wanting to see more of?
I guess I'm thinking about it in terms of an awareness of how the points are connected, is being able to almost look at a scatter plot and be able to see all the implied vertices.
Mm-hmm.
So, having an understanding of the web that's sort of running through all the disconnected points.
But the disconnected points of what?
Life, the universe, and everything.
Life.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, our last question for today, which does not appear on the form, is about luck. You actually had some great die rolls. Very lucky die rolls. Do you believe in the concept of luck? Does luck play some sort of role in your life?
I don't know that I have an opinion on an overarching idea of luck for other people, but personally, I feel very, very lucky. And I think luck and gratitude are two things that are very connected in my life and my own perspective. Mm. And I think gratitude might be the most dominant emotion in my life. So, I don't know. I'm somebody that puts a lot of stock in personal agency. And I guess have some belief because of that you can make your own luck. And maybe it comes down to what your sphere of influence is, what you actually think that you can change. And for me, I think I have a notion that the only thing that I'm really accountable for is how I move as a body through space. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I usually do have a lot of control over what happens to me. And therefore, I end up feeling very lucky. But that's maybe because I'm not really expecting anything external to be delivered, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. How do you express that gratitude?
Trying to make everyone and everything in my life feel valued, and communicating that. And I think it kind of dovetails back in with being an itinerant chef is for me, I'm a huge den mother and I love feeding people that I care about. And so I'm always compulsively feeding my friends. And I find that to be really important. And in a way, I think striving to always build community is a way to express gratitude and is something that often runs counter to art world. And so there's a part of me that tries very hard to cultivate that.
Who composes your community?
Oh, that's a hard question. that's a can of worms. I'm still trying to figure out how to have my cake and eat it too on this one. and I think that's part of what I love about where I have ended up in Seattle is that I have a very supportive community of friends and creative peers who are always very happy to have me here and make me feel very loved and appreciated, and then are completely supportive of it being time for me to leave. When I start to get squirrely around the edges, they don't take it personally. And I don't know, I feel like sometimes I get to live this constant life of going away parties and welcome back parties. but this summer in Alaska, the place that I was working, it was a staff of 50 people. And it was basically an intentional community that happened to have a wildly successful business model attached to it. And so that scratched an itch that I had very much been looking for, where it was an isolated community of people who had made some very deliberate, unorthodox choices and who live very, very different lives. And it's a place where, by definition, no one can stay because it only exists during the summer. And so I think the experience that I had this summer, I'm still I'm sifting through it and figuring out where the dust is going to settle. But I think that's the closest I've ever come to having both the freedom of motion and community at the same time.
Mm. Fantastic.
Cool. Well, anything else?
No, this was a delightful interview.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot to think about and a lot to tell my my wife and my daughter because they will be very interested.
Yeah, this was fun. I enjoy the dice rolling.
Good. Oh, cool.
Our guest today has been artist, writer, adventurer, Tessa Hulls. Thanks very much for sitting with us, Tessa.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tessa.
Thanks for listening. It's 2015.
Yeah.
A brand new year.
Yeah.
And you know what that means?
No.
You don't know what that means?
Not a clue.
It means more fun new interviews.
Oh, with creators and creating. Yeah, that makes sense.
So if you know of a creator you'd like to hear on the show,
or if you are a creator that you'd like to hear on the show,
let us know on our newly redesigned Talk to Us page
at theartistrolls.com.